Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, The Residents of Jamnadweep Offer Prayers, Text 8. Actually, this is Pilad Maharaj speaking. He's the leader of the residents of Jamnadweep. And the residents of Jamnadweep, they're devotees, at least many of them, devotees of Lord Nrsimhadev. This is important. Nrsimhadev, Mula Mantra, special mantra for arousing the, attracting the mercy of Lord Nrsimhadev. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya. Namaste jas tejase abhir abhir bhava. Vajranaka vajradamstra karmashayan randaya randaya tamagrasa grasa. Om swaha. Abhayam abhayam atmani bhuyashta om shram. That's a prose verse. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. His very important Nrsimha mantra. Before Vaishnava Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Pita. Yapada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya karamashayam gratitam udgratayanti shanta tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo bhivudha shroto ganas tam aranam vajavasudeva. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from hard-knotted desires, the fruit of activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruit of desires continues. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desirous. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti, devotional service, as follows. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jinabhitam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu. The personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrisimhadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nrisimhadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya Namas Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajranaka Vajradamstra Karmashayan Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyashta Om Shram. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Om Gyan Sunandasya Gyanam Janasalaka Satra Milita Vyena Tasmai Shri Vilajana Sri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Stapi Tanyena Mutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaya Vidati Svayam Anjikapa Chirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyena Cha Adhidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Yeah, this is important. Nrisimhadev Mula Mantra, special mantra for arousing the attention, the favorable attention of Lord Nrisimhadev. There are different mantras that we use. There are different types of mantras related to Lord Nrisimhadev. Some of them we use, some of them we don't use. This is one mantra we can use, as Srila Prabhupada is making the point here, that we should all, any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires, should offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nrisimhadev, as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. It's from the Bhagavatam verse. So we can all use this mantra. We can all use this mantra. And very appropriate mantra for getting the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev in a way which is very practical for us on a moment-to-moment basis. Sometimes we think that Lord Nrisimhadev, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev when there is some physical danger. Of course, we don't know when that will happen, but it is not that it is usually happening, is it? We don't find, even though people, of course, have been shot and so on here in Johannesburg and South Africa quite regularly, but it's not happening to us, is it? Not really. No. So we may think that we should appeal to Lord Nrisimhadev in times of personal danger, like physical danger, something of that sort. And of course that's true, actually. But really, the more practical, feasible, and, you know, very relevant type of approach, type of appeal, or type of protection, actually, that we should be looking for and appealing for to Lord Vasudev is this. Because he can protect us. He can protect us from anything. And particularly, what are we in danger from in terms of our real situation in Krishna consciousness? We're in danger from our material desires. Our material desires are very strong too. Who can say that I passed a whole day and there was no material desire at all amongst us aspiring devotees? Who can say that? In all honesty, no one can say that. We are being attacked by material desires. They are the real enemy. And they may kill us in the sense of killing our Krishna consciousness. And when your Krishna consciousness is killed, then everything is lost. Then you're just an ordinary person in this ordinary material world. And your future will be very ordinary. You'll simply become engulfed in material existence and just swept away into the cycle of repeated birth and death. And it's very difficult. Very, very difficult, actually, life in this material world. So, for a devotee, that danger is much more relevant and real and practical and something which the devotee needs protection from than just physical danger. Of course, that's also a consideration that is not the main consideration, really, for us. It's not the main consideration. Because as long as you are protected in this way, as long as you are protected in this way from material desire, then that physical danger may come. That physical danger will come sooner or later, at the very least in the form of death. Yes, that unsurpassable physical danger. So whether it be at the hands of some criminals, whether it be at the hands of some terminal disease, or whether it simply be at the hands of old age, but time of death will come anyway. And if you're protected in this way, then in whatever form the time of death comes, but you'll be ready for that. And you'll be protected. Yes, you'll be protected in this way from the time of death. Whereas if it's simply a matter of physical protection, and so that I don't get attacked or physically assaulted or something of that sort, well, Lord Vasudeva, he'll protect his devotee. But when the time of death is really meant to come, then we may pray to Lord Vasudeva, please don't let me die. But he won't protect you in exactly those terms, sooner or later, when your time comes. He'll let you die. Although in the meantime, he may protect you from being beaten up sometimes. You know, we're reading about Jayananda on his appearance day. Did you observe his appearance day? Gave it for Lord Vasudeva's appearance day. It's meant to be observed, so it's on the calendar. We had actually lost the program. The morning and the evening, we read about Jayananda. So there was one account there of how Dayananda, he led the devotees out on Harinam. There was something that accounts. One time he led them out on Harinam. There's an area on the waterfront in San Francisco where he was a devotee. And there's an area there called Fisherman's Wharf. It's a tourist area with restaurants and, but it's all marine, you know, fish restaurants, all that sort of thing. So the devotees would go there and chant sometimes, and some of the people, they're selling fish on the sidewalk. They have like something like buckets or drums or something, you know, with water and fish. And you can choose a fish and take it out and kill it and like that. So anyway, the devotees would go there, and sometimes those people would throw some of that fishy water at the devotees or on the road, you know, like something like that, you know, smelly and dirty and so on. They thought it was a big joke, of course. Jayananda, he came back afterwards with some Mahaprasad and gave it to the people and said, "Thank you for cleaning the sidewalk where we went." And they just melted. They never did it again. When the devotees came back, they were just in a nice mood. But anyway, the actual point or the story I was thinking of really is, there was another time that Jayananda took the devotees out chanting somewhere in San Francisco. And one, like ex-military, like Vietnam veteran type of person, came stumbling out of a public bar, quite intoxicated, and he was very big. According to the account, he was 7 feet tall. Very big. And he weighed about 300 pounds, about 140 kilos or something. Very, very big. And he saw the Harinam, and in that intoxicated state, he was very agitated by the Harinam. And he just came up and stomping up and just tried to confront the devotees. A very angry mood that he, "Stop this chanting! Stop this chanting!" Like he was just about to, you know, ready to attack the devotees if they didn't do that. So some of the devotees were taken aback, they didn't know really how to respond. But Jayananda just walked right up to the man and told him, "Just chant Hare Krishna! Just chant Hare Krishna!" Right, you know, face to face. And the man just looked at him, turned around, and walked away. So, yeah. Lord Nishimadeva may protect us in that type of situation. Actually, just in point for the body men, is that when they would go down to that fisherman's wharf area, then they would see people going into the restaurants to eat fish, the people coming out of the restaurants having eaten fish. And the devotees said that when they were on the way in, they might be in a reasonable sort of mood and sort of, you know, acknowledge the Harinam party in some not unfavorable way. But he said when they came out, they were normally like in a very sort of dirty having eaten their fish. Yeah. Oh well, anyway, so Lord Nishimadeva, he we take just in that kind of situation. We're confronted by something that we will make a little bit of. Americans, you know, sent it down America. Him and one other devotee, just two devotees, and the other devotee, he was sleeping in the back of the van, like a harassed type of van, with two or three seats in the front of the van, so open in the back. So he was sleeping in the back, immediately behind the seats. And the driver, they stopped at some, like, highway petrol stop. And the driver went off to use the bathroom and something like that. And the van pulled him up, jumped in, and drove the van out. And the devotee was stupid. And then the devotee broke out and kind of pulled himself up and over the seats and sort of in between the seats, looking around. He looked around and saw, there's an unknown person driving the van. And he called out, Nrsimhadev! And this fellow, the driver, he didn't know, of course, he was someone. And he looked around and saw this, like, effulgent, shaven-headed devotee shouting, Nrsimhadev! Slammed on the brakes, screamed out, Kojak! Kojak! And just stopped the van on the highway and ran. Oh, yes, anyway, it's like that. Lord Nrsimhadev, he may give protection. In that way. And we may be prone to think that that is the way, that is the situation, that is the type of protection we should be looking for from Lord Nrsimhadev. And it is true, also. It is true. But actually, this, what is mentioned here, this is the real thing, because these enemies, the senses, these enemies, these demon-like desires for fruit of activity in the material world, oh, they're the real enemies. And they're very strong. They're very persistent. They're always following you around. You know, you think you're doing okay, suddenly you look around over your shoulder, there's a big material desire. There's a lurking, just waiting to grab you. Yeah, it's like that. Baladeva Vijayabhusha, in his commentary on one verse, we didn't think it was, but one verse in Bhagavad Gita, he says that determination in Krishna consciousness is like a highly valuable jewel. Very high. And the senses, including the mind, they're like a gang of super experts. Super persistent demons. So, he says, you always have to protect that jewel. Protect it with the association by fencing it in, you know, building some type of fortress around it with the association of devotees. Sincere devotional practices. Actually, this point has come, or it comes up in the seventh canto. This is the fifth canto, but in the seventh canto, this point comes up that as Hiranyakashipu is becoming more and more disturbed and frustrated with the lie, it's gradually building up from the point of thinking, oh, he's just an innocent little boy. Where did he, you know, he just somehow picked up this Vishnu, this interest in Vishnu, you know, somehow. It's just a childish passing interest. You know, like children, they go through different phases, right? And it goes after a while. It's so, very thing like that. Yeah. And he was disturbed, didn't he? Yeah, it's okay. Somehow he came into contact with it, but in a little while he'll just lose interest. So we won't make a big issue. But then as time went on, it became apparent that it was not just a passing phase, and actually Pollard was very deeply absorbed in this Vaishnava Krishna consciousness. And as became more apparent, Hari Kashyapu became more agitated, and he gradually started dealing with Pollard. First of all, as a child who's just, you know, got some silly bad habit. It was not a big thing. Then a child who needs to be, you know, disciplined a bit and straightened out a bit. And then, you know, a child who's, you know, like really deviant. And then it just eventually became that Pollard was just intolerable. He could not take it any longer. So Hiranyakashipu told Pollard that you have taken shelter of our enemy. This Vishnu, you have taken shelter of our sworn enemy. So what are you then? What are you? And Pollard sort of chastised him, or pointed out at least to him, that my dear Peter, G, that one who thinks that in this world I have enemies and I have friends is a fool. Actually, the only enemies are the unbridled senses and the unbridled, uncontrolled mind. These are the only enemies. All these other so-called enemies, they are just imaginary enemies. Because enemy means someone who can, you know, disadvantage you. Severely disadvantage you. That's an enemy. You can steal from you. Or you may take your life. This is an enemy. Yeah. He's malicious towards you. And we would think in real ways. Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes the child in his or her interactions with the mother or the father, sometimes the child may get a little angry and come up to the parent and hit the parent. Do you ever hit your daddy, Baladev? You never hit him. Good boy. You're very good. Krishna does. Do you ever hit your father? Anyway, you don't want to. embarrassed of it. But sometimes children do this. Isn't it? They go up and give their, sort of something like that. They're giving a theatre or a slap or something. But the parent doesn't think at all, he is my enemy. I have to now retaliate or defend myself. It's just, nothing. It's inconsequential. Yeah. But a real enemy may do the same thing. They come up and hit them the same way, but there's real maliciousness there. The parent, and hit the parent. Do you ever hit your daddy, Baladev? Have you never hit him? Good boy. You're very good. Krishna Das, do you ever hit your father? Anyway, you don't want to embarrass me. But sometimes children do this. Isn't it? They go up and give their something like that. But the parent doesn't think at all, he is my enemy. I have to now retaliate or defend myself. It's just, it's just nothing. It's inconsequential. Yeah. But a real enemy may do the same thing. They come up and hit them the same way, but there's real maliciousness there, and they may actually be trying to really do harm. So then we say this is an enemy. But with a Vaishnava, with a devotee, what disadvantage, how can such a person disadvantage a devotee? What can they steal? What can they take away from the devotee which will actually disadvantage the devotee? Nothing. Really. Even if they take the devotee's life. The devotee just remains fixed in Krishna consciousness. And, this material body, whether we're in this one or another one, or we go back to Krishna, in a sense, if we're killed prematurely, then it may be an opportunity to go back to Krishna quicker. So, it might even be an advantage, perhaps. But not a disadvantage, really. Not a disadvantage. So therefore, in that sense, as Hiranyakashipu is thinking, that Vishnu is my enemy, he killed my brother, and I want to kill him and get revenge, and all that sort of thing. So that sort of enemy, in those terms, for a devotee, that is no enemy. That is no enemy. Because as long as the devotee maintains Krishna consciousness, then whether in heaven or in hell or here, in sickness, in health, youth, old age, or in Goloka Vrindavan, as long as the devotee has Krishna consciousness, doesn't make a difference, really. Doesn't make a difference. So, that type of enemy, in Hiranyakashipu, is not an enemy for the devotee. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira is called Ajatashatru. He whose enemy is Ajata, not born. He whose enemy was never born. He never felt himself to have an enemy. Now, of course, many people felt that he was their enemy or that they were his enemies and were trying to attack him and disadvantage him in so many ways. He never saw one of them as an enemy. So eventually when Bhima and Arjuna and Draupadi, particularly Draupadi, she is very fiery. Very fiery. So when they, at the end, when just before the battle was to take place, when they were saying, yes, now we get our chance, now we'll show these people, and we will get back what is ours from these people, the Kauravas, then Yudhisthira will say, it doesn't really matter, it's okay. Let's just forget about it and stay in the forest. Don't worry about it. But he didn't see it like that. He's a Jata Kshatriya. So the devotee is a person who thinks like that, and who understands what are the real enemies. The real enemies are these senses. Oh, they're so powerful. And they're ruthless. They're ruthless. They knock you down. You know, they come on with some material attraction, and your Krishna consciousness becomes unsettled, and you're now sort of knocked down a little bit. Then what do? Do they stand back and say, okay, get back up and get your Krishna consciousness together again? No. While you're just lying there, they jump on top of you, all of them. Start trying to pound you, and isn't it? And the mind, oh my Lord, the mind. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, Krishna says that your mind can be your friend or your enemy as well. So, you know, we may well wonder, when is my mind going to become my friend? When, oh when, will that day be mine? That my mind will become my friend. Anyway, I'm waiting for that day. We're all waiting for that day. One time one devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said that Srila Prabhupada, my mind gives me so much trouble. My mind. It's very difficult. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I know. My mind also causes me difficulty. So it's like that. These are the real enemies. And they're so persistent. Some other enemy, you know, you fight them off, and then they have to go away, and you don't see them for some time. Right? These enemies, you fight them off, and then you turn around and they're not there. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada had told the story of, I don't know if it was Bhagavad Gita, but something. One of the Muslim emperors who had a Hindu or whatever minister. And that emperor asked the minister, the emperor was getting old, kind of middle age, late middle age, going into old age. And the emperor asked the minister, well, you know, when do these material desires subside? Is it an old age? Will it happen then? And then I can be peaceful and I won't be feeling the pressure of these things. And that minister said, no, actually, till the moment of death. And then, you probably know that story, it's a well-known story. The minister took the emperor to the house of a man who was on his deathbed, just some hours or a day or two to go. That man was just finished there. And so, the minister came in and told him that, oh, it's just some common man, that now, the emperor's come to see you before you die. It's very unusual for just a common man. So that dying man looked up and saw the emperor. As I'm dying. Then the emperor's young daughter walked in, maybe 20 years. And that dying man was looking at the emperor, then the daughter walked in, then he was looking at the water. And the minister told the imbecile, so much. Right up to the moment of death. Right up to the moment. So these senses and the mind sometimes, you know, we have this term in English that such and such is a hard taskmaster, or like a slave driver, that kind of idea. You may be working in some job, and your boss is always pushing you. As soon as you sit down, he's pushing you back. As soon as you want to leave, he wants you to stay on a little longer. That sort of situation. And finally, you know, after you've worked for him for 50 years, then you retire, and he gives you a pat on the back and a letter of congratulations. Well, the senses in the mind, they're worse. You know, in material life, when you've been working for someone, you work till you're 55, 60, 65 is, I think, generally the maximum, usually. Then they let you retire, and supposedly you can then go and enjoy the so-called golden days. They're actually the rusty days. Everything's worn out. And, you know, you just can't do it any longer. You can't enjoy it. So, anyway, the idea is, though, that you can then just relax, and for some 10, 15 years or whatever, you can just relax and enjoy without being under pressure. But the senses and the mind, they never, after you've served them for your whole life, from the first day you came out of your mother's womb till the day you died of old age, your senses and your mind, they are pushing you, pushing you, pushing you. Not from 9 to 5, but the whole time. Even when you're sleeping, dreams are coming up. Mind is pushing you. So this is what we need to be protected against, actually. This is what we need to be protected against. So we should try, we can learn this mantra or practice. Pray to Lord Vishnu for protection in this way. This will really help us in a way which is actually important. This mantra. They're the mantras we sing after the aratis. Then there's this mantra, we can use those. There's Nisunga Kavacha, but we don't really use that. I don't know, really. There was a bit of a sort of a phase when many devotees were getting into chanting Nisunga Kavacha, but we shouldn't really do that because it's a special, very special mantra, and you need actually a special initiation just for that. Yeah. And to receive it in some form of disciplic succession. Just for that only. Just for chanting that mantra. Yeah. So we can chant this mantra and these other mantras which Prabhupada has given us. And then we'll be protected. We'll be protected in ways which are really valuable and really important. And Lord Nrisimhadev is very kind. If we pray to him for protection, he'll help us. He's very merciful when it comes to helping his devotees. I don't know if you heard the story, but it's in Nrisimha Purana. Jiva Goswami tells the story in Bhakti Sandhava of Pallad's previous life. Pallad, he says, in his previous life, was a type of a debauchee. Really? You know, very, like a low-class person with very bad habits, and bad association. Very much like that. So, one night he was fighting with his low-class girlfriend, and they were just screaming at each other and hitting each other. It was just really a very sort of totally bizarre, antisocial scene. And all the people in the neighborhood just sort of ran them out of town, or just sent them away. And so this fellow, Kalama's previous life, and this lady, they found some, just outside of town, on the edge of town somewhere, some disused old building, like a semi-ruins type of thing. And they went in there, and the whole night, they were shouting at each other and cursing each other. Just all bad language and just completely horrible. And hitting each other and insulting each other. The whole night till the morning came, till they just kind of collapsed from exhaustion from having fought so much. Now, as it happened, that disused old kind of ruined, semi-ruined building was an old temple of Lord Nrsimhadev. And the knight, and they were just so much into fighting and screaming at each other, they just forgot about eating, forgot about sleeping, forgot about drinking, anything. So anyway, that place was a disused old Nrsimha temple. The knight was Nrsimha Chaturthasi, the appearance day of Lord Nrsimhadev. So because he stayed up all night and fasted, complete dry fast for the whole night on Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance day, he was born as Pralad. Of course, he was born in a family of demons. Yeah, so. But then he got the association of Narada Muni. That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni knew that here we have a devotee. So when Indra was going to kill Hiranyakashipu's wife, Narada stopped him and took the lady away and preached to her that Pralad was in Peru. He heard it all. So by the time he was born, he was very exalted devotee. So that was the arrangement of Lord Nrsimhadev. Yeah. He's very merciful. So we should know that if we really try and take shelter of Lord Nrsimhadev seriously, he will help us. Actually, not exactly to do with Lord Nrsimhadev necessarily, but Jiva Goswami there, that section of Bhakti Sangata, gives a number of examples of people or living entities even who got special mercy, just to show how merciful Krishna is. Tells the story of one bird. There was one bird that was caught by a dog in the mouth. But then other dogs came and chased that dog, wanting to get the bird. And the dog ran around the temple three times. In the process, the bird died in the dog's mouth. The bird went back to Godhead because of circumambulating the temple too far. And similarly, there was a cat that was chased around the temple by dogs and then killed. The cat also went back to Godhead. There was one mouse who would sneak up onto the altar in between aunties, or, you know, when things were a little quiet in the temple, on the altar. And they had these big ghee lamps, you know, these multi-wicked, multi-tiered ghee lamps, they call them Mary demons, with many, many lamps, many, many wicks. And they were big, and they had oil or ghee in them. So the little mouse, his practice was to drink while no one was around. So one day the oil or ghee was down, just a little further down than usual. And he was kind of struggling to get over and in, but not, you know, sliding, hanging on by his back legs at the top. And he lost his grip. And he fell in, and he died. So the thing is, Lord Vishnu is very merciful. So if we really try to take shelter of him and get his protection, he will protect us. But we just have to really try and give our hearts. So let's try and do that. Let's try and get Lord Vishnu to listen. And get protection from our real enemies. And particularly, you know, there's another special enemy. That is our own tendency to become, to kind of gravitate towards those things voluntarily. It's another thing if they're attacking you and you're kind of trying to fight them off and fight the good fight with all thy might, as they say. It's another thing if you're kind of, you know, turning around and thinking, contemplating, willfully. That's another thing. Yeah. Contemplating some material is your interest. Yeah. Sometimes, we make this point sometimes, but sometimes it happens in the devotee community that one devotee and another devotee, the relationship goes sour sometimes. It may happen. It shouldn't happen, but it happens sometimes. So we may think that this devotee is my enemy. This devotee is my enemy. When that this devotee comes in, off I go the other way. Well, but if you ask that devotee, do you think I should fall down into all this absurd stuff? Do you think I should, you know, leave Krishna consciousness? Your enemy will tell you no. Stop talking this nonsense. What's that? Yeah. But sometimes, you know, your senses, your mind tells you, why are you chanting so much? You got to relax. Why are you straining to follow these regular principles? There's only one nature. Only three together. And sometimes we may willfully contemplate, wouldn't it be nice if I, you know, did this, did that, had lots of money, had a nice big motor car. Sometimes you never know. And we may actually, maybe. So therefore, one of our devotees, we talk about this sometimes, one of our devotees said that if you really want to know who is your enemy, then it may be that all you have to do is look in the mirror. And then you may see, there he is. What the issue is. a big rascal who's causing me all this trouble. In the mirror, right? Sometimes it's like that. So if we really don't take shelter of Lord Vishnu, he can protect us. If we really, we want to be protected. We don't really want to be protected. Then he may have to protect us, and then all sorts of things will come up and difficulties and so on. Hare Krishna. Why is it that sometimes my mind becomes an obstacle to my devotional service? I follow the programs, chant my rounds to the best of my ability, and associate with the devotees. So why is it that sometimes my mind becomes an obstacle? Well, the reason is because it's deeply ingrained, very deeply ingrained. Old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. It's really quite something, actually. It's just a matter of habit. Well, it's a matter of habit, but it's also, you know, on a deeper level that we're conditioned, which is also the same thing. But then if you go right to the root of it, then you see right at the root is the fundamental cause of my material existence. That is, I turned away from Krishna. I'm envious of Krishna. That's the ultimate problem. I turned away from Krishna. I became envious of him. Krishna Bahir Mukha Jiva Boga Manchakala. Lord Chaitanya says, the living entity, Jiva, Krishna Bahir Mukha, turned his face to the back, away from Krishna. And Boga Manchakala started desiring Boga. Sense gratification. So first thing really, you know, we may be following the morning program, chanting our rounds, this, that, associated. But, you know, it's very, one thing is it's very deeply ingrained. The other thing is that we've got this causeless unwillingness, causeless unwillingness to surrender to Krishna. Based on envy, that we wanted to get away from Krishna. You know, sometimes we talk about how the most powerful of all the modes, in one sense, the mode of ignorance is most powerful. Because the mode of ignorance means forgetting, ignorance, lack of consciousness. And what is material life? We forgot Krishna. As soon as you start remembering Krishna, you can start making progress. But while you're not able to remember Krishna, you may be as much in the mode of goodness as you like, but it won't help you if the mode of ignorance is covering your remembrance of Krishna. But if you're remembering Krishna, then you may be a fool and a rascal in many ways. But if you're at least remembering Krishna, you can then make progress. So the mode of ignorance sometimes is said to be the most powerful of all the modes, the most influential. And if we analyze this word ignorance, we see it's an interesting word. Ignorance. Yeah. Means a state of ignorance. So we've ignored Krishna. So really, if we want to go down deep into our hearts and see what is the real problem, finally, the real problem is we're ignoring Krishna. So we have to keep reminding ourselves how we're Krishna's servants, how we're doing this for Krishna, in order to reawaken our forgotten relationship with Krishna, in order to develop a mood of service to Krishna. This is why we're doing all these things. We're not just following the morning program just sort of automatically. We're not just chanting our rounds just so we can control our minds and our minds become more peaceful. So we're not just associating with the devotees because they're nice people. We have to, in a very conscious way, keep remembering it's for Krishna. We're focusing on Krishna as the Grand Krishna. Keep Krishna as the focal point. Anyway, the thing is, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that if your mind is an obstacle, then in the morning when you wake up, or at night, that'll be the next thing, at night when you go to sleep, you can beat your mind 100 times with a stick. Okay? Here's a stick. And in the morning when you get up, then you can beat your mind 100 times with shoes. We had a discussion with Giriraj Maharaj some years ago. What does this mean? Does this mean that we actually, you know, put our heads as such? And the conclusion we came to